Greetings everyone, this is Shami Devan here, your emotional and spiritual wellness coach. Today, on the day of Halloween, well, happy Halloween wherever that you are in this world, and I hope that you're celebrating Halloween today. If not, that's okay too. But thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And today, once again, after a week-long break, I am back talking about my favorite topic in spirituality, which is angels and angel therapy. So today we are discussing certain facts and figures about angels and angel therapy. In the past 10 years, perhaps even more by now, angels have penetrated the deepest consciousness of mankind. Angels make no mistakes. They are real beings that are created by God or Creator, Source, Universe, whatever name that you give, to aid us and to serve us. Now, recently I had seen this video of a gentleman talking about how to summon angels. And he talked about how he has created a whistle to call upon angels. In my many years of practice with angel therapy, I have never really whistled out to angels per se. Having said that, I don't think that it is right or wrong to whistle out to angels, because of course he talked about it, you know, saying that they are our servants and they are supposed to be at our service, etc., etc. But the way that I perceive angels and the way that I connect with angels with a lot of is always with a lot of love and respect. So whistling did not make sense to me. But then he also talked about how you would call upon angels with a special call, you know, how the army soldiers have a special cry to help, or if you have friends and there is a special way that you greet your friends. So yeah, if you want to create a specific greeting, my suggestion would be tune into your own consciousness, tune into your own intuition, and decide if it is right or wrong for you to do it. Like I said, there is no right or wrong way to call upon angels. The only point is that you do call upon them whenever that you need to. Angels bring back answers to our most troubled questions. Why? Because they are the closest to the source, and they are our connection to the source. This is the reason. And no matter how lonely or dependent we feel, we are never really alone. Angels are always in our attendance. They like being around us. It is their job from the universe to be around us. They never ever fail us, and they are never in a bad mood, and they never get disgusted as such. So like I was mentioning earlier, if you do want to have a specific way to call upon them, you can. Over many years, like I shared earlier, I don't have any whistles or any tunes that I hum. And if at all I do, it is not the same every single time. I have treated my connection with angels in a very personal way, in a very friendly way, in a very non-specific way. And even though I have been very non-specific when I have called upon angels, I have always felt their presence. So let's carry forward. Angels are direct reporters from the divine, and they are always in a state of acceptance and unconditional love. And remember, there are trillions of angels present in our entire galaxy. We have assigned angels that are there specific to our planet, of which the closest to us are angels and archangels. They are not a metaphysical fantasy. I know that earlier I had discussed about it and we laughed about it a little bit, that at one point I did think of them to be a metaphysical fantasy of an artist called Michelangelo. It was only after multiple experiences with angels that I came to know that no, these beings are very, very real and very much out there, always around to help us with anything and everything in life, as long as we are dedicated to our life purpose, and that our life purpose is of the way of light. They are beautiful beings that walk with us every single moment with light shining around them, and their light is open and welcoming and protective in nature. And this brings us a certain freedom from worry. Any living being at any point could call upon tens of thousands of angels at one given point in time. So you don't have to really think about how many angels will show up, will angels show up or not, what if they are busy helping other people and my issue is not as concerning to them as somebody else's. No, that is not how angels work. They work extremely harmoniously, number one. Number two, angels are omnipresent, which means that if I have angels with me, they can also be with you and with your friends and your family and a million other people at one given point in time. So they are omnipresent. So you don't ever have to worry if you are bothering them or if your work may not be as important to them as somebody else's. Their primary purpose is to help us fulfill our charts, as well as their God-given assignment of being a protector, a messenger, a healer, etc. So angels are always there, present with us, helping us, guiding us, giving us messages from the universe, from the heaven, from God, from Creator, if we allow them. Remember, I had talked about the law of free will. The law of free will definitely comes into play over here. They take human form sometimes for pleasure, but they have never really taken an avatar per se on our planet. Now, this can be a little bit debatable for a lot of us, because in angel therapy, we have archangels like Archangel Metatron and Sandalphon, and these were prophets in the Kabbalistic and the Judaism forms of religious practices. And they were prophets, which also then means that yes, they did take human form. Again, over here, I'm bringing in our Eastern philosophy, Eastern religion, and Eastern culture, where we have talked about, let's say, Vishnu taking the Krishna avatar, or Vishnu taking the Rama avatar. And it's a very similar concept, although slightly different, slightly variating, because whereas Archangel Sandalphon and Metatron were prophetic in their lives. Krishna and Ram had a very human life. They lived the life of a human, not of a prophet. So once again, I will suggest you to use your discretion on believing what you believe. At the end of the day, all of these energies are extremely in sync and very, very similar. Angels do have names, but it really doesn't matter what you call them as long as you do. Now, once again, bringing in different cultures, angels are called differently in each culture. So, whatever culture, whatever religion, whatever faith that you belong to, if that is the name given to these extensions of the divine light, you can call them that. Having said that, in traditional angel therapy system, yes, because it is a Western modality, the angel names are Western. For example, Archangel Michael, Raphael, etc., etc. Now, one thing to remember is that if you are an angel therapist, a practicing angel therapist, you would want to use the correct pronunciation of each of these angels. And each of them, when you correctly pronounce their name, will respond faster, quicker, and more efficiently. For example, if you were to call me Sharmi Devan versus Sharmila, Sharmeen, Sharmi, these kind of names, I will may or may not be responding to your call. But if you call me properly by my name, like Sharmi or Sharmi Devan, I will immediately respond to you. The same goes for these angels. So even if you are of a different culture, let's say you say Krishna or Kanha or Shiv, this energy will respond so much better to you if you call them by their authentic proper names without making variations in their pronunciations. So in angel therapy, Azrael, so A-Z-R-A-E-L, Archangel Azrael, for example, the Azrael is the invocation, the method, the way of calling upon that angel. Similarly, Raphael, but Michael and Raphael will respond to Michael, Mikhail, both. And Raphael will also respond to Raphael and Raphael, because these are the most commonly invoked angels. So their presence is so much around us that it is very easy and simple to call upon them. The rarer angels would be like Nathaniel. Nathaniel, of course, the existence of Nathaniel has increased, the invocation, the number of times people call upon Nathaniel has increased. But some people will say Nathaniel or Nathaniel. The correct invocation or the pronunciation is Nathaniel. So each and every angel, and I speak about 16 archangels that I work with in angel therapy, and each have a different way of invocation. But yes, you are a common man, you are working on enhancing your skills in angel therapy, just go ahead and call upon them, and that is the most important step for you to take right now. Sometimes angels can take human forms for pleasure or to help us out. I had shared an example of this in my earlier podcasts. Definitely listen to that. They can interact with us on both spiritual as well as physical level with great power and force, and yet be extremely gentle and loving towards us. They are not going to harm us in any way, shape or form. They are nothing but the purest form, as I said earlier, of love, light, knowledge and forgiveness. And everything that is of our highest purpose and highest will. They don't really have any other agenda in life than to help, protect and love us. So always remember to call upon angels at every step of the way. They are the closest creations to the divine that we can comprehend. What do I mean by that? The divine light, God's light. The analogy that scholars have given about the light of God is like staring into the sun on a hot afternoon directly, times 100. Okay, so the energy of the divine is so strong, it is so intense that it will blind you, that you will not be able to take the intensity of it. This is the reason angels were created, because the light of God needed a little bit of dilution for the human mind, eye, perception, senses to take in. Angels are intelligent. They do have emotions, but the emotions, like I said earlier, are of the purest form. So there is no duality, that they don't get angry, they don't get pessimistic, they don't sit and question things, they do not get moody, they do not get irritable. And angels don't really have any kind of cellular memory in them. It is just energy, and positive and only positive energy. Positive and only positive emotions. So they don't really carry any karma, baggage, trauma, etc. either. And we can call upon them and they will come and assist us right away. There is no waiting period per se with angels. Angels are telepathic. They can hear us, they can read our thoughts. But once again, it is important that we give them permission to do so. And one of the misconceptions that people have is that you have to be special, you have to be the chosen one, you have to be living a certain way in order to connect with angels. And that is completely false. You do not need to be in a meditative state. You do not need to have any special frequencies, any special life experiences. You do not need to think that angels are not going to work with you if you are not special enough. In fact, what I will tell you over here is that angels will work with you unbiasedly. So as much as they will work with me is as much as they will work with you and anybody else who chooses to call upon them. At the end of the day, the choice comes only in our hands solely. Even if they are present, even if they are there, even if they are watching upon us, they will not intervene in our lives until and unless we ask them to, except for only one time. As I had mentioned earlier, when we are in danger, when our life is in danger and it is not time for us to go, not time for us to die, that's when an angelic intervention will come in and your life can get saved, which is pretty much fantastic, shortly put. So this is what I had to share with you guys in today's podcast. On Friday, I will bring in an emotional wellness topic. Until then, take very good care of yourselves. Wishing you a very, very happy Halloween and a happy Samhain, if that's what you are choosing to celebrate today. Lots of love and angel blessings. This is Sharmi Devan signing off. See you soon.